So hey everyone, welcome to this Learn and Grow call with Stephanie Winkle. Stephanie, you and I met at the Quantum Leap Mastermind, and I was looking at that time. We had done an activity, which was give and ask, or ask and give. And one of the things that you were giving is the opportunity to be on a podcast. You host your own podcast. And you were talking about being on a podcast. And I was looking for individuals in that room who had some sort of a experience as a family that could bring insight into our group and bring some wisdom, some sort of an experience that was probably, you know, not exactly like other families that we've had or that we have in the membership, but that there's something about your experience, and I love what you wrote here. I'm going to get to it in just a second, that I thought was invaluable for our group to hear.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, you're welcome. And I apologize. I don't know exactly how to explain New Heights Investment Group. So can you explain just real quick New Heights Investment Group and the work that you do there?
Sure. Basically, it is simplest definition. I help people grow wealth with real estate. So a lot of people are get nervous and unhappy with the volatility of the stock market. And so I show them how they can invest either their cash or their old IRAs or 401ks into real estate to get better returns without doing any of the work. So I think a lot of people think that they have to either flip houses or deal with tenants to invest in real estate. And I help connect them with investing in apartments specifically. So basically grouping up investors to purchase a large apartment building where they can generate a cash flow and wealth outside of the stock market.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was so much better said than me trying to explain what it was. That was just very clear. Awesome. You're also a mom.
Yes.
You have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old. What's it like to have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old?
Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. They're people, they're adults. So you can have, it's such a different season of life than when they're smaller. You're watching them like kind of become who they're becoming. And you don't, in one sense, not that you have control of your kids, but you really don't when they're adults, and they're, especially if they're away. And that can be challenging as a mom, because you have to see them make mistakes that you think are mistakes, but they're just living their life. And then on the other hand, I just love seeing them becoming the great individuals that they're becoming. So I love this season.
And it says here that one of the things that, and this is something I love so much, is that when they were 5 and 8 years old, I believe that's when you started raising them as a single mom. Is that right? And that you felt this immense pressure to now have this bigger responsibility and to get it right.
Yeah, it was really hard for me. Being a mom is like the most important thing in my entire life. And I really felt like going through a divorce really let them down. And they grew up without a father. And that just made me very sad. So it was a challenge. I felt like I was making all these big decisions with no one else to really consult with. Of course, you can talk to friends and support and, you know, my family, but there's no one else like another parent who loves your kids and like you do. So that filled me with, I mean, a lot of shame, a lot of self-doubt, and a lot of fear and worry.
Wow. And what are some of the ways that you moved through some of those feelings or emotions, the shame, the worry? How have you been able to reconcile and I'm sure it comes in different seasons. Those emotions come in different seasons, but how have you been able to move through that?
Now I have none of those feelings. I feel pride, joy, on the hindsight of it, was great. We made it through. I think one of the things that helped me immensely was faith, just believing that it was going to be all right. And even when I screwed up, you know, there was someone else higher than me looking out for them. And that all the challenges that came, my daughter also had severe health issues and had to come out of high school for a year and a half. And, you know, and all the challenges that all of us have parenting, knowing that it was going to be okay and we were going to work it out, even though it wasn't going to be perfect.
And can you tell us a story about you and your kids and some sort of maybe two stories. One might be what you're most proud of, something you're most proud of you creating something together, and maybe it's one and the same, and also some sort of an obstacle or a challenge that you've overcome and how you as a family work together to be able to overcome that obstacle or challenge.
Sure. So I'll start with a story of a challenge. When I first got divorced, it was very emotional, really hard. For 2 to 3 years, I just hunkered down and kind of pushed through, you know, what I described earlier, some depression. And then, you know, I was lonely. And so I had met someone and I started dating, and that brought along a lot of challenges. You're talking about people with other kids and my kids, and it got complicated. And I stepped back and realized that that was not what my kids needed. They, you know, they have a unique circumstance where that brought unique challenges. And the best thing for them was for me to solely focus on them. And so, you know, it's hard to kind of sacrifice what you want and, you know, focus on them means you delay some of your dreams, whether it be finding another life partner or a career aspiration that you want. And I decided at that moment that I was going to put all that on the shelf until they grew up and just focus on them. And I am so happy and proud that I made that decision, because I think it mattered a lot. And I'm not suggesting that for other people in this situation. Everyone has to kind of live their own life and make their own decisions. But for me and for my kids, that was the very best thing that I could do. So I'm very proud of kind of identifying what was going to be the best situation for our family and then doing it.
Yeah. And whether it's a divorce or an argument or wanting to make a move or wanting to pick what's on the menu for the evening, that there are these different times where you know, families are going to face different challenges at different levels, and they're going to continue to come forth, and there's going to be decisions that are always being made as a family. What are some of the things that you and your kids have moved through together, like little things, whether it's school or, you know, is this movie appropriate, or, yeah, you know, listening to the music? How did you navigate kind of like being a mom and trying to help them to get good quality stuff going into their minds?
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge, right? With all of the social media and all the things that are in our world today. We have a lot of conversations. And I think it being the three of us, you know, we go on vacations, it's the three of us, we're doing dinners at night, it's the three of us. And so we have and it's not perfect. There's a lot of bickering and fighting. My kids are 2.5 years apart. They get physical with each other when they were little. Every vacation, we have a trend where it starts out with a lot of bickering around what we're going to eat, what we're going to do. And then by the end of it, you know, we're all happy and friends again. But, you know, we just push through and are there for each other. And I think whether it's little things, you know, them struggling with school or friends, you know, there's a lot of friend situations that people have to figure out. At the end of it all, it's just that we're here for each other to help each other out.
That's awesome. I've been on many vacations where it starts with kind of the friction, and by the end, it's almost sad that it's over. And at the very beginning, you're like, oh. What's interesting is doing a lot of Fanbundance events, by when everyone gets there, they're usually coming off of like a pretty long day of travel, and getting everyone there, and you can kind of feel like there's just, it's not smooth yet. And then by the time the event comes to an end, after 2 or 3 days of total immersion into the family and connecting and not being distracted, and the only thing that the families are focusing on is each other, that by the time that they leave, it's like, wow, we're leaving not only this vacation, but we're leaving this space that was all about the family.
Yeah, it's a kind of a good analogy to family life, the vacation, right? You work hard to get there. I mean, I know there's been plenty of times where I'm thinking, why am I spending my time and money with you people? Like, no one's happy right now. And then by the end, you just all are connected, like you said, and you love each other, and you have a memory. We spend a lot of time talking about those trips, and even the parts where it's like, remember when you pulled my hair? Those are great memories. And so when you're in it, you're like, this will never end. This is no fun at all. But on the hindsight of it, it's so much, so rewarding. And memories that we all have, right, of our family, our times together with our family.
And I don't know if you know Lindsay McCarthy, but Lindsay McCarthy is the other person who's on the screen. And Lindsay has, it's so funny because you have a 21-year-old boy and an 18-year-old daughter. And Ty is 10 and Emmy's 7, right? So it's like, really, is that right? Is she 7?
Emmy's 6.
Oh, she's 6. Okay, Emmy's 6.
Emmy's 7 in December. Yeah.
Emmy is 6 years old. I'm just wondering, Lindsay, as you listen to Stephanie, are you seeing kind of the young version of some of the things that she's describing?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, even with the vacations and the trips, the Fanbundance trips, you know, they are a little messy at the beginning, and then, but after everyone leaves, it's just like, oh, we're going to miss everyone. And the chaos is beautiful. And like you said, it just creates these amazing memories, the shared experience. And I'm totally digging everything you're saying.
And Linz, think of any questions that you might have for Stephanie, just for anything that you might want to ask that be like, oh, I wish Brother James would ask that question.
Can I ask now?
Please. Yeah.
Even what you were talking about, what you do for a living, I think that could be really, really fun for the kids to be able to put in some money to one of the real estate.
Oh, yes. My kids are very into my real estate endeavors. I focus on apartment investing now, but I also have a large portfolio of single family rentals. And I deal with tenants all the time, and my kids growing up, oh my gosh, now my properties are in great neighborhoods, but early on they were in really challenging neighborhoods, and I would have to load them up to the car, go chase rent. And I would be in these horrible neighborhoods telling them, stay in the car, duck down. Don't move while I go in and, you know, fight with tenants. And so they have been very much in the weeds. My daughter is not really interested, but my son, my 21-year-old, is very into it. He's done some flipping, and he's actually moving to Fort Worth in January to manage 10 of our properties there. So it's so fun to do it with him. We go to conferences and we nerd out talking about it. So, you know, he's going to be financially free, before he's 30, and that's just going to be so, so awesome. So I love having them involved.
Wow.
That's
amazing. Gosh, I'm like picturing you right now in those neighborhoods, probably like whatever, like 10 years ago or so, where you're like, get down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're walking up to the door, and it's like, you know, you're smaller than the tenant and they're bigger and like you're there and but you're still holding your own.
Yeah, he's this particular what time I'm thinking about the tenant was just doing all kinds of things and he's yelling at me, "We're friends, Stephanie." I'm like, "We are not friends. You are my tenant." But I have stories that could go on forever. If I told some of them, it would be like, "You are not a good parent." I had my son mowing, I call it the weeds because there was no lawn. And, you know, there's like alcohol bottles in there. It's like, "Watch out." So, but those two, they hated the rentals. But those two have really fond memories now as we kind of laugh about all of our adventures.
How many stories would you say you have? Just like,
oh my
dozens,
gosh.
Hundreds of stories.
Yes. Hundreds of, going over spray painting, over graffiti, over and over. And my son's like, "Why don't we just let it be there?" So the lessons in there, you know, hopefully you don't know while you're doing it that lessons and seeds are being planted, but, now seeing it as they're, you know, growing, they valued those times and they see now why we were doing them. Right. So that's really cool and exciting.
That's amazing. I think we have a lot of FamBundance members that are, they've got younger kids. And so they're kind of in that place of trying to figure out what to do. Are we getting it right? Well, how can we adjust? For example, Mike and Lindsay just moved to Austin to help their kids to have an experience at Acton Academy.
Oh, awesome.
So they moved to be able to put their kids into a place where their kids are going to have an opportunity to really thrive. And, you know, that's a, what you might call a pivot. And so many of our families are in that place where they've got 10-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 3-year-olds. And it's just so cool to hear you say, you know, you don't know if you're getting it right. You don't know what's happening in those moments. You're trying to do your best. And as you look back, you know, those different experiences are really these different seeds that allow them to essentially see the world, to grow, to learn. And that ultimately the moms and the dads, I believe, are kind of the biggest influences on their kids. Can you speak to some, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, you know, as parents, we worry a lot about things like, you know, what books they're going to read, what school they're going to go to. And what I have learned is they are really, and all of that's important, by the way, but what they're really watching is you. They're really watching to see what you do, how you live, how you are, and that's what they're learning and taking. You know, my kids saw me struggle. I wasn't perfect, but I pretty much always try to be happy and joyful, and I work really, really hard. And some of these things, I think they see and model more than, you know, the tactical things that we do.
Totally agree with that. I see them myself, the amount of things that I modeled in my mom. And I can also see my mom having modeled my grandpa.
Yeah.
Everything from mannerisms to certain hand movements to mannerisms. And just so many things where beyond her master's degree, beyond her years of teaching and all those things, she still is just like her dad.
Yeah, it's a legacy, right? It's what you're kind of passing through.
Yeah, and my mom and I are both really like, we like to just get things done. And so we both share this gene of kind of like type A personality of, well, probably like all of us on this call, where we're just always, you know, thinking of what's, you know, what can I do next? How can I get it done? How can I do a good job? That's my mom. She's kind of like my hero in a way. So
it's kind of the yin and the yang of it all. Like my mom, for example, was in the Marine Corps. So you can imagine how that kind of speaks to how she was. She was very much, no, if you came complaining, it was pull yourself up, you know, get back in it. And I have taken that on. And I see that now with my kids, where I'm like, that's great. But, you know, also, like my daughter, she's just go, go, go. I mentioned she had some health issues and she's always just picking herself up and doing again. And I'm like, give yourself a little love. You're okay. So it's interesting how, you know, those traits, we bring them along throughout our legacy and, you know, they have good and they have bad, and we just keep working on them and keep improving and keep being better.
And one thing you talked about that intrigued me at QLM and then in the intake for this interview was you were talking about well-being. What are some of the ways that you've taken care of your own well-being physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually? How have you, you know, taken care of yourself along this journey of being a single mom, running a successful business, investing in properties, et cetera?
Well, one thing I do, like I mentioned, I do have faith, and I practice things like prayer, meditation, and I also exercise has really helped me throughout my life. So I always make that a priority to kind of blow off steam and, you know, get frustrations out. That has really been helpful to me. And then seeking support. Early on, I was in like a divorce support group, which was really helpful connecting with other people that are going through the same thing you are. And then in years since now, I've been through a lot. And so I like to help people, you know, that are in that place that are struggling, because there is light at the other end. And, you know, I think it's important to take your struggles and kind of use them for good so they aren't wasted. So, you know, those are some of the things that I do, and also just continue to grow and learn, is really important to me as far as well-being, which is why I like to be a part of QLM and other of those kinds of organizations.
Yeah. Excellent. And how do you choose the different books that you read?
Oh my gosh, I have so many books. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of times those guests or those podcast hosts have book recommendations. I feel like there's a never ending supply of awesome books. Yeah.
Yes, there is. Have you ever read any Wayne Dyer?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's like the OG of personal development. Right, yeah.
It's right now. I just finished a chapter on what we as human beings came from.
Oh, very cool. I haven't read that particular book, but I'll have to check it out.
It's very intriguing. But just to your point, like there's, whether you're in a bookstore somewhere in Canada, or you're on Amazon, or you're listening to a podcast, or you see some, or you're at an event, the number of books that we get recommended these days. It's so long.
And how you can consume it, right? So I have my printed books. I have my audio books. Yes. So the Kindle book, like there's so many ways to be consuming, you know, all of that great information.
Absolutely. Well, if you were to give your younger parenting self a piece of advice, so take yourself back 10 years, your kids are 11 and 8, and you were to pull yourself aside and go, hey, Stephanie, here's something I'd really like you to know about this whole parenting thing. What would that piece of advice be that would allow that Stephanie to have more peace and more enjoyment in the process?
I think three things. One is, you know, try not to be overcome with worry. I was constantly worried that the divorce would ruin them, worried that, you know, they wouldn't do well in school, worried about them with friends. It was like worry, worry, worry. And that takes away energy from other positive things. And I know it's hard, but if I was talking to my younger self, I would say, don't worry so much. It's going to be okay. The second thing is, I would have more self-compassion. I was really hard on myself. I would blame myself. Like I mentioned, I had a lot of shame by being a divorced parent. And you know, I would love myself more and give myself credit for the things that I was doing. And then the third thing I would do is to be present. A lot of these other things distracted me from being in the moment with my kids. And I know people say this all the time, it goes so fast and they won't be here forever, but it's true. Like, they aren't here now. And I wish that I would have enjoyed and loved and cherished every single second that they were little.
It's beautiful. Linz, do you have any parting questions or any comments before we let Stephanie get back to her day of crushing it?
Geez, putting me on the spot.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron. Great. Oh. Thanks for saving me.
I'll give you a minute to think about it. So, you know, we have, do you have a boy and a girl, or is it two girls?
I do. My oldest is a boy and my youngest is a girl.
That's right. You said that he was managing your properties.
Yeah.
So we have a 15 and 17 year old. So we're kind of at the end of our journey, or coming to the end of that season that you're now at the end. What was the things that at this age that you did with them to help them along the way? I mean, a lot of who they are is starting to solidify and you know, turn into concrete, but it's a job that never stops, I think. So what are some of the things that at the teenage ages that you did that you think worked really well for you and that you would recommend for people to do?
You know, the thing that the teenage years are where they start that process of kind of detaching from you. So as a mom, that can be really challenging. Like, you know, they're not cuddling up to you. They don't really sometimes even want to talk to you. And I tried to just be present when they were ready to talk to me. So I'd like to say I did this awesome, but I did nag a lot with a lot of questions, and that really only proved to like turn them away. And so over time, I realized that if I was just there around and not bothering them and not, you know, asking them a million questions, that at some point they would open up on their time in their own way. And when that happened, then we would have great moments and great opportunities where I could, you know, be honest with them about, you know, things that I have learned and experiences I have had that hopefully could help them. But I learned that the pressure, you know, the pressuring them or trying to always be teaching them lessons, you know, wasn't necessarily getting to them. And so being around, one of the things that was hard for that age is that they start to drive. And so a lot of my kind of great moments with communication with my kids was in the car, where that's where they would open up and, you know, talk to me about things. And then when they started driving, I didn't have that. That was a gap. So, you know, just trying to be around when they were around so that maybe those opportunities to have those moments, you know, can arise.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great question, Aaron. Linz, did that give you a chance to think of something, you know, an extraordinary question to ask?
I had something and I just forgot it. Let me think one sec. Earlier you were kind of talking about, you know, how they are always watching us and us modeling certain things for them. Can you think of a time when you more intentionally modeled something and that they've kind of picked up on along the way?
I think so. This whole notion of dealing with your finances and being quote unquote financially free is something that you know, I unintentionally did by all of our real estate rental adventures. But I also intentionally, as they grew up, you know, help them with when money comes in, this part go, you know, always put this much in savings and always give this much. And, you know, you can spend this much. So teaching those kind of lessons for anyone that is interested in real estate investing, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad has a great board game, Cash Flow, I think it's called. They also have a children's version. So like introducing those kinds of things where I could intentionally, you know, impart lessons through play and games is really helpful. And since I'm so passionate about real estate, you know, that game is fun. It's like kind of like a version of Monopoly. And so I highly recommend that if anyone's interested in that topic.
Yeah, we have that one. It's in the rotation.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Stephanie, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to share that you think is important that I didn't ask you about that you think would be valuable for this community?
No, I just think I'm grateful for you having this and also having me on. It's been great. I would just ask that everyone be open and loving and compassionate to all different kinds of family situations. Whether you're going through a loan or divorced or together, there's challenges, right? And we can kind of be hard on ourselves and hard on others as we watch and judge how other people are parenting. And I truly believe we're all doing the best we can, right? We're all trying. Our intentions are to grow, you know, wonderful kids and have wonderful families. So I just think it's great if we can have compassion on ourselves and compassion for others.
Oh, that's beautiful, Stephanie. Thank you so much for being here. If someone wanted to reach out to you, to connect with you, to hear more about the real estate company, how would they do that?
My website is newheightsinvestmentgroup.com, and you can email me at Stephanie@newheightsinvestmentgroup. And I also have a podcast called Frenzied to Financial Freedom, where we, a co-host and I, interview female entrepreneurs and real estate investors. And so would love you to tune in or check it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everyone, yeah, have an amazing rest of the day. I'm going to run. My mom's about to leave for a 5-day vacation. I'm going to go run and give her a big hug.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye,
have
everybody.
A great day.
Bye. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.